morning, Grace Christian Church family. Amen. Glad you're with us this morning. We're streaming live from Monmouth Battlefield State Park in Monmouth County, New Jersey. So we're glad you're with us this morning. We're streaming and we have some folks here. And also, if you're in the vicinity right now live, you can come to our picnic in about half an hour. Amen. Because we have plenty of food. Amen. My name is Rob Parlante. I'm the pastor here at Grace Christian Church, and we're glad you're with us. We just entered into in God's presence in worship with four wonderful songs led by my wife. Amen. And I encourage you to go on Facebook and listen to that. But I'm going to preach a message this morning, and the title of this message is Dependence Day. Dependence Day. Not Independence Day, but Dependence Day.
I was going to say,
kind of
early.
Literally. Galatians, we're looking at Galatians 3. Verse 2 to 3. Now, I say it's not Independence Day, and I'm going to explain this to you today in this message, what it means to declare dependence on Christ. Amen. But you know what? Just want to make mention that all our notes for every message are on our Facebook page, Grace Christian Church of Monmouth County, and also on our website, njgrace.org. Amen. And one other announcement, two others actually. We have a prayer meeting every Wednesday, 7:30 on the Zoom. We have a link on our website. And then we have a group on Facebook called Christ is Our Life Movement. So we encourage you to join it, because every day we post, almost every day, wonderful truths about grace, our identity in Christ, the new covenant, and our identification with Christ. Amen. You know, I have a lot of fond memories as a child of vacations I took with my family. Have you ever thought about that? And at some vacation, you just can't, you know, you just remember it was so impactful that it sticks with you all these years. Well, for me, that was 1976, okay? I won't tell you how old I was. I was 13, okay? 1976. And 1976 was a wonderful year, because that was our 200th year anniversary of our Declaration of Independence. And back in 1976, me and I have two sisters, one older, one younger, and my family, my father and mother, bought a, imagine this, AMC Matador. Remember that ugly car? He got a hitch on it. He bought an 18-foot trailer. And we drove to Florida, to Disney World, that weekend, 4th of July weekend, 1976, to be there for celebration of the 200th anniversary of our country. Amen. And it was a two-day trip, 8 hours down, one split. I think we stopped off in North Carolina somewhere, and then another 8 or 9 to get down there. And it was a wonderful time. And I remember going to the Fort Wilderness is where we stayed in the camper, right? And I remember there was like armadillos, and I'm like, I never saw an armadillo in my life. What's an armadillo? And I remember all these crazy bugs, you know, like weird bugs down there, and snakes. And I remember walking along by the camper, and I saw like what I thought was a colorful necklace, and I was about to pick it up, and the camera's like, don't pick it up. I said, why? It's a coral snake. Ooh, very poisonous snake, right? The guy came out, his camper came out with a shovel, and he killed the thing, unfortunately. But snakes, and you know, and there's every night that week, there's fireworks. And I remember being sitting there at the campsite, looking at the fireworks over a lake. And I remember also that was the first year of a ride they introduced called Space Mountain. Remember that? Space Mountain was introduced in 1976, a brand new ride. And it's still there today. Amen. But a wonderful time, something that I remembered, and something that I think, you know, we all have vacations that we remember. And that one really stuck with me. But what really sticks with me is why we celebrated that anniversary of our country. 200 years. What was it all about? It was our Independence Day. It was our Declaration of Independence. And what was that really all about? Okay? I did a little research. You know, I went on Google and I said, wait now, you know, Independence Day, July 4th, 1776, our founding fathers drafted a document, right, 13 colonies that we are at that time, that we would be independent from the rule of England and the King of England. And then I realized, I didn't really think about this, but the Revolutionary War was right after that, okay? It lasted a couple years, and September 3rd, 1783, there was a peace treaty that the U.S. and England signed, and the United States became an independent country, amen? So actually it was 1783. But it's something that stuck in my mind, because what does it mean, you know, to be independent? So this country became independent from another country. Two countries separated, okay? And we severed ties. And this country is now, believe it or not, almost 250 years old. And what a wonderful blessing to live in this country, amen? What a wonderful blessing to worship and have freedom to worship God in this country. And you know, our country was founded on Christian principles, amen? And that's a blessing. And I know that's under attack today in our society in 2021. We should be praying for that, amen? But it's been a blessing. Two countries now separate. But there's also a declaration of independence in the spiritual realm. That's what I want to talk about today. In the spiritual realm, when we believe the gospel, okay, what are we doing? We are declaring independence from something. Really, what's from the law and self-reliance to live life. And then on the opposite side of that, we're declaring dependence on God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit to live life. So we're declaring independence, relying on self, and declaring dependence on God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's what I want to talk about today. The confusion that many of us have as Christians of how to live the Christian life. Because Paul addressed that issue in the Galatian church in the first century. He specifically addressed it because there was error being introduced into the gospel, what the gospel was, and how to live the Christian life. And they were straying away from the truth. And I want to look at that today. Because Paul addressed these issues with questions, rhetorical questions, questions that are we know the answer when you present them in a way that's rhetorical. So I want to look at this today. How to live the Christian life. How it works. Thus the title of my message, Dependence Day. And this is what we're going to look at. There's three questions Paul posed to clear up any confusion. This is this. How do men, first point, how do men receive the Holy Spirit? Why are men so foolish? We'll look at that. And why do men depend on their flesh? So, if you have your Bibles, open up to Galatians 3, verses 2 to 3. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. It adds a little more color to the Scripture. Follow along, and then we'll open in prayer. Galatians 3, 2 to 3 says, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as the result of obeying the law or doing its works? Or was it by hearing the message of the gospel and believing it? Was it from observing a law of rituals or from a message of faith? Are you so foolish and so senseless and so silly? Having begun your new life spiritually with the Holy Spirit, are you now reaching perfection by dependence on the flesh? Let's open this time in prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for this beautiful day that we can be amongst your people here together, and you're with us, Lord, that we can celebrate a fellowship time of a picnic and being out, gathering together, encouraging one another, praying for one another, and just being with one another, Lord. What a blessing. I pray, Lord, your Spirit would speak through my lips today to those hearing this message, that it's really dependence on you plus nothing equals everything. I pray, Lord, that that would sink into our hearts today as you speak through my lips, that the Spirit would just work in our lives. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The issue in the Galatian church, I'll run through what it is. Galatians 1, 6 to 7, Paul kind of says this, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. They are quickly deserting the truth, the simplicity of the gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died and rose again for the forgiveness of sins. That's it. Christ died for man's sins and rose again for the forgiveness of sins. Amen. He rose again. And by belief in that, we have eternal life. By belief in that, we have spiritual life. By belief in that, our sins are forgiven. But it says you're quickly deserting that. And we're going to get into what that's from, what's going on there. He says, you're being, somebody's distorting the gospel. Brothers and sisters, there's so many today that are distorting the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel, by adding in things or works or things to do or commit or whatever that's not clearly stated in the scripture. We're going to look at that. And then Paul defends himself in the beginning of Galatians. He says, you know, I didn't just decide this gospel. I didn't just determine this out of the air. The Lord gave it to me. He defends the gospel and says, he received it by a revelation of Jesus Christ. And he even mentions that in 1 chapter 1 11 and 12. He says, for I would not have to, you know, brethren, that the gospel was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we know about Paul, right? Paul was a Pharisee. He persecuted the Christians, but then he was blinded. Then on the road to Damascus, he got converted, right? That's his revelation of who Christ was. That's what happened there. So he defends his position. Now, brothers and sisters, today we can defend our position too about the gospel, because we have the scriptures. We have the Bible, right? All scripture is God-breathed, right? The scriptures, the gospel, the New Testament, the go about grace, all the whole Bible testifies to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have the authority because we have the Bible. Amen. Paul had authority. He had direct revelation back then on the road to Damascus with Jesus Christ. But these are the issues, the two issues facing that church and facing that time that's still in play today. Because the issue was, there were the distortion was circumcision is needed for salvation. Okay? In other words, faith plus circumcision is needed for salvation. And we know that's wrong because it's only by faith. But there was a second error, and that was this, that self-dependence and flesh is required for one's sanctification plus faith. In other words, it's not by faith. It's by something plus faith. What a confusion today, brothers and sisters. You know, everybody agrees. Christians agree. We're saved by faith in the gospel. But the issue becomes, how do we live the Christian life? Many, many teach a mixed message. Law and grace. You know what? And one pastor, I heard a quote from, I actually documented, he says, as a Christian, he says, the law becomes a way to know, serve, and grow in the likeness of Christ. You don't grow into the likeness of Christ externally, it's internally. Amen. We'll get into that. Amen. But the first question, how do men receive the Spirit or the Holy Spirit? Galatians 3:2. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as the result of obeying the law and doing its works? Or was it by hearing the message of the gospel and believing it? Was it from observing a law of rituals or from a message of faith? He says, let me ask you one question, but it's really more than one. It's a three-part question in one. Amen. It's a rhetorical question because we know the answer. He's trying to make a point to them. Okay? Was it by the law that you received the Spirit? Was it by doing works that you received the Spirit? You did some ritual to receive the Holy Spirit? No. He also says the same thing in Galatians 3:5. He says, Paul, then does he who supply you with his marvelous Holy Spirit and works powerfully and miraculously among you do so on the grounds of your doing what the law demands? Or because of your believing in and adhering to and trusting in and relying on the message you heard. Brothers and sisters, the Galatians did not receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law. The Galatians did not receive it by doing something. It was by faith. It was by hearing and believing the gospel message. Amen? They didn't have the Spirit until they heard the message. And then they believed. Amen? But you know, man is born today, and I like to talk about this, in Adam or devoid of the Spirit. You know, in the garden, man was designed prior to the fall to be in fellowship and connection with the Holy Spirit, with God. Amen? Man's spirit was connected to the Holy Spirit, amen? But as soon as the fall came, that Holy Spirit was taken away, and man died spiritually, and man is now dying physically. So man today is born devoid of the Spirit, amen? Jude talks about this. Jude 1:19, he says, in the end times, he says this, it is those who are agitators, setting up distractions and causing divisions, merely sensual creatures, carnal, worldly-minded, devoid of the Holy Spirit and destitute of any higher spiritual life. Brothers and sisters, the problem is a spiritual one. Amen? The problem in the world today, in our society, is a spiritual one. You can't solve it by the law. You can't solve it from some external way. It's a spiritual problem. Man needs to become spiritually alive. Amen? Man needs to be born again. Man needs to receive Jesus as their Savior. Man needs to be risen with Christ in newness of life. Amen? But we're born devoid of the Spirit. But once we believe, we believe. But you know, some people now, in this part of the country, I grew up in a church that said that you receive the Spirit as an infant when you're baptized. And that is false. Amen? That is not true. Now, you know, many people teach this, and I see in scriptures, no infant, the baptism in the scriptures is by an adult. An adult is professing his resurrection with Christ and saying, I'm a believer. But immersion in holy water or sprinkling with holy water as a child does not infuse the Holy Spirit. Amen? But the question becomes, we don't like to think about that, because what happens to a child if a child passes on or dies before knowing Christ? Well, here's the answer. You can check the scriptures. That's not about that. But if a child can't think or intellectually understand the gospel, God's not going to hold them accountable to that, brothers and sisters. But when a person becomes older and can understand and process, receive or reject the good news, then he's responsible for his own life and his destiny eternally. Amen? But a child is not. A child can't make a decision, or somebody who has not the mental capacity cannot. Amen. And God is merciful, and God will save them. That's my view on that. Amen. But you know what? Baptism is a profession of faith. In other words, after believing the gospel message, I believe, I go, and I show the world that I am risen with Christ. You know, me and Laura got saved in 1990. We're in our mid-20s. We were saved maybe a few months. And the pastor asked us, do you want to get baptized? And we said, absolutely. Amen. And we got baptized in front of a church of about 400 people at that time, in North Jersey. Amen. I already had the Holy Spirit. I was already born again, and I was professing my faith to my brothers and sisters in Christ that I'm risen and born and with Him. Amen. But you know what? What's Paul's point? The Galatians didn't receive the Spirit by the law, by a ritual, and in my example, baptism. No, they received the Spirit by believing the gospel message that Christ died and rose again for the forgiveness of their sins. That's the point, man. That is the point. And man needs the Spirit, and that's how they receive the Spirit, by faith. Amen. Second question, Paul asked them, why are men so foolish? He says, Galatians 3:3, beginning, part of that. Are you so foolish and so senseless and so silly? The word foolish, he says there. And then also says it in 3:1. That's Galatians. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Christ Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified. This word foolish means having or showing a lack of good sense, judgment, or discernment. Why is Paul calling the Galatians foolish? Why do they have a lack of judgment? Why are they showing no good sense? Because this is what they're doing. They're adding something, circumcision, let's say, in this case, that's a requirement for their salvation. He's saying, where'd that come from? It's by faith, right? You don't add in a work of circumcision. But then he also is going to go on and say, self-effort and works aren't needed for your sanctification. How do you grow in grace? We're going to look at this in detail. Growing in grace as a Christian is the same by faith as it is for your salvation, which is also by faith, amen. Who has bewitched you? Well, you know, brothers and sisters, we are in, believe it or not, an unseen spiritual war, amen. And who's behind it? The evil one. The devil. The demons. Demonic activity around. Okay? Influencing. Trying to deceive the Christian from one, from receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. But once you receive Him and believe Him, then he tries to distort your view of Him and realize that you can't work and grow and do and serve unless you do this extra thing. In addition to faith, amen. Why are men so foolish? Because men want to do something instead of rest in being something. Amen? They want to do something instead of resting in being who they are in Jesus Christ. It's so important. It's a big issue in the life of a believer and in the life of a church. Amen? Men, okay, are taught in the world system they need to do in order to be something. Bible doesn't say that. It's opposite. In the spiritual realm, you are something, and then you do something for who you are. Amen? Big difference. Big, big difference. Amen? By faith in the gospel message, man is indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and once indwelt, he's indwelt. Amen? The same faith that saves is the same faith that grows. This has to be a place where we say, yes, Lord, I believe that, and take a stand on it. The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, remember, what must I do to be saved? Remember that story? They're in jail, and their chains came off, and then they could have walked through the jail doors to the outside, and the guard with the jailer was going to kill himself, actually, right? And Paul said, hold on, okay? Don't do that. I'm going to stay here. God opened the door. Okay? God released my chains. But the man said, you know what? What must I do to be saved? And then this is what Paul and Silas responded. They said in Acts 16:31, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. Okay? He asked what to do. And Paul said, don't do anything but believe. Amen. Don't do anything but believe. You know, and I talked to a lot of folks that recently in addiction recovery ministries, and people get in the jam, you know, and they get addictions, and they get into this realm of flesh and doing these things, and they immediately go into a program, and they ask, what should I do? That's the wrong question to ask, brothers and sisters. It's what should I believe, right? It's what should I believe? Because when you believe in the gospel, when you believe Christ died and rose again for your sins are forgiven, the power of sin is broken. Amen? What must I do? Do nothing but believe. You know what? Nothing more, nothing less. Dependence on Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Dependence on Jesus plus nothing equals everything. He will meet every one of your needs. Amen? It's not Jesus, dependence on Jesus plus something. It's plus nothing. You know, that's a big lesson to learn. You know, one of my favorite authors is Watchman Nee. And Watchman Nee, I forget which book it was, said this something about something quote like this. He goes, you could learn 10 years worth of lessons in life in 1 year if you're dependent on Christ plus nothing, okay? Instead of 1 year's worth of lessons in 10 years. See what I mean? You know, I hear all these brothers and sisters having trials and tribulations, and I understand God's working. But when the same thing keeps coming, and keeps coming and keeps coming. What is Jesus doing? He's putting you in a circumstance where he wants you to believe and depend on him for something. I don't know specifics, but that's the general of it. He wants dependence on him. Plus nothing equals everything. Amen? That is so key. That is so important. That is so truthful. That is freeing to live the Christian life in that way. Amen? But they were bewitched. They were tricked. Okay? The Galatians were deceived because somebody was bringing in another teaching, making the gospel more complex and an error than it really is. Amen? Jesus plus nothing is salvation. Faith in Jesus plus nothing. And faith in Jesus plus nothing is your sanctification, is how you grow. Amen? Who bewitched you? That's his point. Believe, believe, believe for spiritual life. Believe and believe, believe to grow in grace. Amen? It's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. So important. Third question Paul brings up. Why do men depend on their flesh? Galatians 3:3, the second part B. Having begun your new spiritual life, your new life spiritually, with the Holy Spirit, are you now reaching perfection by dependence on the flesh? Another question. Are you reaching perfection by dependence on yourself? Are you reaching perfection by self-effort? Are you reaching perfection by keeping the law? Are you? Well, what is perfection here? Let's clarify. When we believe the gospel message, amen, we are perfectly righteous. Amen? We are justified by faith. Perfectly righteous, made right in God's eyes. Amen? This isn't that perfection. This is behavior. Brothers and sisters, our behavior does not equate to our salvation. Because we can be saved, be righteous, and justified, and still conduct ourselves in a way that's sinful. But we're saved. This is referring to poor behaviors, habitual sins, bad habits, and how to overcome them. Amen? Now, let me explain something. God, Christ, is the initiator in life to help us grow. Philippians 1:6 says, "For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." You know what? God is working. He's presenting you with opportunity in life to depend on him. He is the initiator. Amen? He's the one who's orchestrating things in life. Amen? He's allowing things and orchestrating things. Amen? This perfection is a believer's sanctification, growing in grace, replacing sinful behaviors with godly behaviors. Amen? What's the trap? What's the trap the Galatians fell into is this. Dependence on that thing called flesh, which is self-independence, okay, self-reliance, and living out of your own resources. So dependence on myself to become perfect. Instead of dependence on God and Christ to be perfected in my behaviors. A big difference. It's an old covenant mentality living in a new covenant of grace. Amen? This is, to me, one of the biggest stumbling blocks in the church today, is teaching a mixed message of law and grace, especially to grow. Because Scripture doesn't say it, and Paul's saying it right here. Right? Right? Oh, you think you're going to be perfected by dependence on your flesh? No. By faith in Christ to grow you. Amen? Paul is saying, you know what? Now that you're saved, why are you reverting back to law-based living to be perfected? Brothers and sisters, it's by faith. You're saved by faith. You're perfected by faith. And that's because of his grace. But you know what? Here's the issue why it's so hard. Because when we grew up and we're born and we live in this society today, right? We go to school, we go to middle school, we go to high school, maybe we go to college, and we're taught, perform, 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 do, do, do. And then that equates to you being significant, right? It equates to you being somebody It's gaining status. It equates to somehow you gaining a career. All this, okay? When we believe, and that's all self-dependence, right? Picking myself up on my bootstraps and living through life. Well, when we become a Christian, there's a new source to live life, and that's Jesus Christ. Dependence shifts from self to God. We just have to choose to depend on Him, amen? When you believe the gospel, what you're doing is, you're saying, I declare my dependence day. See that? I declare my dependence day on Christ. Jesus tells us, the flesh profits nothing. Remember that? A couple weeks ago I preached on that. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. If Jesus said the flesh profits nothing, why do we tend to depend on it to be perfected? It profits nothing. Do you see? Do you understand? We live by faith. We live in dependence on Christ plus nothing to get everything we need. Amen. It's all about Him. So in conclusion, my message is titled Dependence Day. Now you understand what I'm trying to get at? Dependence Day. Have you declared your Dependence Day? Have you? Have you said, I declare myself independent from the law, independent from self-reliance, independent from some ritual, independent from some system, independent from some program, and I'm going to depend on Christ? Right? That's what he's saying. Paul's saying, you've been deceived. And that deception is still going on 2,000 years later. Paul saw it, addressed it, and it's there for us to see in Galatians. How do men receive the Spirit? They receive it by faith, amen? Not by the law, not by circumcision, not by some ritual, amen? Why are men so foolish? Because if you want to do something, instead of resting in being something, we are in Christ, amen? And why do men depend on their flesh? Because they were taught as a youngster and young person to live like that, off out of that source. But we have a new source to live when we receive Christ, amen? Big difference. Your new source to live life is Jesus Christ. Have you declared your dependence day? Amen? I'm going to leave you off with that today. Have you declared your dependence day? Because dependence on Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And Jesus will not twist your arm. He's waiting there patiently for you to choose Him in all things, to depend on Him in all things, to speak to your spirit and guide you in life. And when He does, and He does that, brothers and sisters, your life will be wonderfully changed. Your life will be wonderfully used, and you will experience a vibrant, wonderful, vibrant life. I'm going to close this in prayer, and we'll see you next time. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for Galatian passage here, Lord, and for Paul addressing this issue, which was an issue 2,000 years ago and still an issue today. I pray that those listening to me today in this message, whenever they hear it, today or in the future, that they would understand dependence on You plus nothing equals everything. Thank You for this time. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.